Hi, John. Thank you so much for joining us on the UK Run Chat podcast today. Would you just like to give our listeners a brief introduction to yourself, please?
Of course. Well, thank you for, well, for me, I'm glad that I'm on the podcast. I'm John. I'm 40, nearly 41. I have three kids, and I have a YouTube channel called Stammerun, which I set up last year. And the aim of it is basically all around health, stammering, and everything around there. So for me, it's a place to include everybody. It's a place for people to feel safe. It's currently on its way up. It's currently nearly at 60,000 subscribers. So I'm really surprised at that. It's grown a lot.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible in such a short space of time as well. That's amazing. So you've obviously connected with a lot of people there, John. So what sorts of things do
Well, I
you
hope
do now?
so. So as a stat for you here, 18 million people in the world actually have a stammer. So that's probably one in, I think it's one in every 100 people. Chances are you probably know. So for me, I used to hide it. So the problem that I had was I never really talked about it, and I'd always kind of hid it away. So I sort of tried to pretend to be somebody that kind of wasn't me for a really, really long time. And then and then last year I think it all became a lot, and I just sort of became quite unwell with it. And then I just kind of then had to express to the world. And then I thought, well, what's the best way for me to express that is to put kind of put it out there, put the word out there, and just let everybody know that it's okay to stammer.
It totally is. It's part of you, I guess, isn't it? And that's a really brave thing to do, actually, just putting yourself out there for the world. Did that feel like a relief?
It's very, very, very cathartic, very, very scary to admit something that you try to hide from everybody, even my wife, even my kids, trying to put on this face of somebody else. And my only outlet has been sport and being able to run. So the only true time that I felt me is on the street or at the gym. So sport for me has been a really, really key part of who I am as well.
I think that comes across with you, I think, that it does kind of help your mental health and it's your space. Because you've
Absolutely.
not been running that long, really, haven't you? You've come into
No, so
life.
yeah, so I started to, well, so I've always played sport. So ever since I was about six or seven, I've always played sport. And then at school, I ran. So I was quite good at school. Like I used to win pretty much a lot of stuff. And then I was kind of quite fast. So I've got a sub 11, 100 meters. So I was always quite fast, but then I just kind of stopped and I didn't really do a lot. And then about when I was 35, I had a disectomy and a fusion in my spine because I went to the gym. So it means I've got six screws and two plates in the spine, and was told that it's going to be very difficult for you to exercise. So you kind of need to kind of think about the things that you do. I don't like to listen to people. So I worked extremely hard and I came back. And then so COVID then happened and they closed all of the gyms and I was devastated. So I thought, what can I do? And I thought, well, I used to run and it's the only thing that we can do. So I just decided to run. So that was 4 years ago.
So talk us through what's happened since then. So how did you start?
So how did I start? Was I didn't know anything really about, well, I knew about the sport, but I had no idea about how to train, how to run, like how to plan and that kind of stuff. So I basically consumed loads of I consumed like lots of ways to run. So, I looked at the TV and books and that kind of stuff just to kind of get an understanding. And then I think I got some Asics that were like really, really old ones. And then I decided just to run. And then because I always like to compete with me against myself, I then tried to beat the times. And I think I started off doing 3Ks. And, you know, it wasn't like anything quick or fast. And then I just seemed to get like kind of like really just enamored by the fact that you could just put on a, like some shoes and just go out for a run and it's free. And I just felt so good. And then, of course, then I learned about the 5K and I challenged myself to try to get under the 20-minute mark for the 5K. And I pushed and pushed and pushed. And then the moment that I got under that, it sort of sparked something for me. And then I just got into it and just absolutely adore it completely.
Yeah, I can hear that passion in your voice, John. That's fantastic. So what does a typical week look like for you now then in terms of training?
So what I try to do is I split it up. So what I do is I'll do some tempo runs. So I'll try and do one or two per week. So that's probably like a 5K. And then I'll do maybe two or three 10Ks a week and then a long run on a Saturday, probably about 20 miles. So I'm probably doing a good 50 to 60 miles a week.
Yeah, and that adds up. And I was chatting to another podcast guest earlier about this, actually, that the more mileage you do, it does help your running overall, doesn't it? We just become more proficient at it. How does your body handle that mileage then? Is it, I mean, you've obviously built up over 4 years.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. The biggest thing is you can't go from naught to everything. You have to, you know, I think it's taken me 4 years to get to this point now. So, you know, it's something that I think if you go into too quickly, and I think this is where a lot of people make the mistake initially, is they run, they feel great, and then they want to do miles and miles and miles, and they get injured, and then they stop. But the biggest thing is that it's just slow. You know, every week, you know, don't do anything more than about 10% a week increase and then have a week's break. So I know it's frustrating, but it does take time. But if you build the healthy habits now, then 3-4 years, you know, you'd be far along the way.
Yeah, it's easy to get frustrated at first when you're not seeing kind of, you can't make the progress that you necessarily want to make quickly. And we do try, I think it's in our nature, isn't it, to try and rush things a little bit.
Absolutely, which I have done. So, you know, I've made that error as well, especially at the start, because I used to think that I could run everywhere fast. And I just thought that you used to have to run everything fast, which is a complete wrong way to do it.
So when you say rest week, what kind of mileage and what kind of sessions are you doing during that week?
So what I'm doing on a rest week, so say my average week is say between 50 to 60 miles. On that fourth week, I'll probably do something like 20 miles, 20 to 30 miles, just because I'm just trying to rest the legs, the heel. So, you know, I probably won't do a lot of fast work. So there'll be just easy miles, like properly easy miles. So I'll give you an example. My average pace per mile is about 6:20 for an easy pace. So I'll really come down for a really, really, and I'll probably come down to about maybe 8:30 and just have really easy miles, just to ease in the legs and just to kind of just have that week to just basically heal the legs.
Yeah, give them a chance to recover.
Exactly.
That's quite a difference in pace there then, isn't it? So you really are kind of pulling yourself back and just giving yourself a chance to recover there.
Well, absolutely. And I think the key thing here is that you have your, what you have to do is you have to build up your aerobic base. So effectively you need to build up your, to be able to run. So, you know, that's effectively your zone 1 to kind of 3 running. So that's the every single day. So that's your base. And you should always try to have a base run every single day. And those are now my favorite are where you effectively just get to run really, really slow. You get to chill out. You get to relax, wear your favorite shoes, your most comfortable shoes, and you just go and just have a run. Those are my absolute favorite runs. And actually, those runs are the best runs, not the faster runs. It is those runs that will increase that engine. And those are my absolute favorite runs.
Yeah, I think they're the ones I enjoy, actually, because you don't have to think about anything, do you? You don't have to be looking at your watch, not worrying about whether you're going too fast or too slow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, good fun. So do you run more than once a day?
Sometimes I do, depending. So the content that I make at times, I do some stuff. So I maybe will do a 2 10Ks. So I'll run one, come back, put on some more shoes, and then run another 5 to 10K. But it won't be at the same pace. But I do sometimes run twice in a day, yes.
Yes, but not all the time. I think that's the question.
Not all the time, though, because that will be quite hard, I think.
So what's your favourite distance to run then? Because we've talked about your 5Ks. What other distances have you done?
My favourite is probably the half marathon. I think there's enough there to. I think there's enough there to train for. Because they are hard. I think when you think about a half, I think some people will easily overlook it, maybe for the full marathon, because. I think that it's only a half, but you think about, that's a half at a really good pace. And I find that just probably the hardest, actually. I do, because I find myself, I've got a 1:18 in the half marathon, and, it's at a good pace, but it's a full on, it's such a difficult race that I just enjoy that aspect. I think it's that trying to give your best and 100% for 13.1 miles. And for me, I think it's that ultimate where you can't slack off at all. So yeah, I think the half for me is actually the hardest.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. I think the half marathon for me, it's been the one distance I've never been able to reach the goals I've set myself at. It's a really tough distance. What are your tips for running a half marathon then? If anyone out there is like me thinking,
I would say I would train for a marathon. So train as if you're, as if you, because you also need to kind of do that everyday miles, but you probably need to do more everyday miles as opposed to the kind of speed work, because you really need to build up those legs. You really need to increase that core and your core strength as well. So if you can do some other things around, like planks or like abdominal work or leg work, I think that would really, really help as well, because it's I think it's definitely one of the more harder things to do, because it's just constant. It is a constant, constant, fast pace. And really, I think it definitely hits the body more.
Yeah, I think you're right. So is your strategy during the race, is it just to set off and just hang on in there as long as you can?
Yeah. So what I do is for the first 6 miles is to go fast. And then just hope that by mile 9, I'm still in there. And then the last 3 miles just hurts. So it is a case of, you just hang on in there.
Yeah. So your heart rate's pretty high all the way through, I'm guessing.
Well, I try to keep my heart rate around about 160, 165. So if I'm at about 160, then I know that I'm okay. So I kind of try to do about 160-ish. So it's not too bad. But again, it depends on if, like, you're tired or you stress is, but the one of the key factors for anybody is keeping that heart rate as low as you possibly can.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good tip. So talk us through the marathon, because you hosted a UK Run Chat Hour for us recently.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, did you enjoy it, by the way?
I did. It was absolutely brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing that. We love having community members on hosting. It's nice to get a different perspective and different questions from people. So in the bio that you sent us, you said that you'd run a marathon on a fractured leg.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Talk us through that. How does that happen?
So last year that was the Housestead Marathon in Essex, and I trained really, really hard for it. And it's a really hard marathon. It's everything's uphill. It's such a difficult one. So I said, yep, that's the one for me. And it was my very, very, very first marathon. So I turned 40 in May. So on May the 1st, and then on May the 8th, that was like the very first marathon. And I trained hard, and I was just like, right, I want to do a sub 3. So I started the race, and I got through half at about 1:20. So I was just like, I'm on pace now to do between a 2:40 and a 2:55-ish. And then a mile 16, I hit up like a hole or something, and my leg just didn't feel quite right. And I thought, oh yeah, this hurts, but I just persevered, and just to the point where I had to stop. I had to, you know, I had to sit down at one point, and I just absolutely was in agony for pretty much the second half of it. And there were times where I felt like I had to stop. I just kept persevering through the pain, and I finished, and I managed 3 hours and 4 minutes. I think for me, I was so pleased the fact that I finished it. And then I had to go straight to A&E. And I fractured my leg.
Wow. So in a pothole, essentially.
Basically, a pothole, yes.
Wow. That's so...
Which
lucky.
You'd think I'd be able to see it.
Yeah.
But when you're focused, you just can't. I just couldn't see anything else. I fractured my leg.
Oh, that's so unlucky. But still superb result. How was the first marathon back after that then? How...
I haven't done one since.
Haven't you?
Haven't been able to do one since. So it took me a little while to come back. And I've kind of taken the choice to not do one this year. I'm just going to do all halves and things this year because I want to recover for next year. So I've taken the choice not to do one this year.
Yeah, very sensible. Yeah. Oh well. Yeah, you've clearly got big goals for the marathon.
I have.
So yeah. All the best when you do eventually take that on again. So, what's been the favourite race that you've done so far, then?
I would probably say the Chelmsford Half Marathon. Again, that was my kind of first one, and I think it's pretty cool when you train for something. And you kind of execute your plan. So I think, you know, I trained really hard, and it was like the very first one. I didn't really have any experience at all. And, you know, I kind of tried to plan it in my own head. You know, I did the planning for 13 weeks and I finished it within plan. So, you know, that was the first time that I thought, actually, you know what, if you plan something, it absolutely works. And I executed it to plan. So,
yeah. Yeah, that's such a satisfying feeling, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. So what about standout moments then so far for you in your running career? What's been the big standout moment or something you're proud of?
I think that just being able to run, you know, I think that, you know, when you get injured, and mine was particularly bad, you appreciate the small things. And, you know, I come round from the operation and, you know, I was in such pain, and, you know, I couldn't walk for a long, long time. And just being able to walk and to run, I'm just thankful that I'm able to walk, to run. So, you know, being able to do that is fantastic. So, you know, that's probably what, you know, for me is the proudest thing.
Yeah, because I was going to ask how you come back from that kind of injury. It must be tough mentally. Like, how do you get over that slump? It must feel like, you know,
when you've always played sport or you've always done some kind of sport, I think it depends on the person. So I guess there's two things with me. Because I fought for my speech a lot of the times as well. So, you know, I've always been ingrained in me to fight. So, you know, I've always fought to be able to speak, you know, to be able to speak here. You know, what people don't understand is it's taken a lot for me to be able to communicate, to be able to talk, and that's through hard work. You know, that's through so many times of, you know, feeling embarrassed and, you know, feeling sad, but coming back. And it's very similar to sport, is when you get hit down, you come back again. So I've had those two things, you know, and I just think that I've been very fortunate that I've had the mindset to be able to come back. And I think even if I wasn't able to run, I always would have played sport, just because, you know, I just think that, you know, I think it's really important to be true to yourself. And, you know, I just think that you can do more than you think you can.
Yeah, no, that's so, I love that outlook, actually. And we all can, can't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what goals are you setting yourself next then?
So I have many goals. So with Stammer Run, I'm going to work with a charity, and my plan is to run 1,000 miles. So the 1,000 miles, they are a voice. Okay, so for, you know, people who've not been able to speak, or, you know, people who have to go through things. So every step is a person, you know, for them effectively. So it takes two steps. So a million steps to run 1,000 miles. Yeah. So every step is a voice. So I'm going to run 1,000 miles, or I plan to run 1,000 miles. So that's to Scotland and back. That's kind of the first plan. And then second plan is I want to next year run all of the majors, and try to do the Japanese one, the Berlin, London, and Boston or New York marathons.
Yeah, that is a huge goal. Yeah, wow. Because you do, of course, have to
qualify.
Boston that has a qualifying time, is that right?
Yeah, it is. So I would have qualified for that last year, yeah. Even with a 3:04. So because of my age, I'm 41. I fall into that age. So now I think the qualifying time is about 3:08, I think. So I would have qualified for that.
Well, I'm sure you'll get there again. So is the plan to kind of run one of the majors and use that as a qualifying time for Boston?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So which one do you think you'll enjoy the most? Which are you most excited about?
London, I think.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, big race, isn't it?
It's a huge race, and I think the atmosphere there, and, you know, and for what it, and for the cause as well. So I think that's my main aim.
Yeah. So I'm intrigued by all the shoes behind you, John. Obviously our listeners won't be able to see these, so you'll have to imagine there are lots and lots of running shoes. What's your favourite type of shoe to run in? Have you got a particular favourite?
So my favourite all-time running shoe is the Alpha Fly. That's I absolutely love that shoe. Yeah. But looking behind me, anything real? I mean, I quite like a carbon plated shoe, as boring as that sounds. But my favourite shoe right now is the Puma Fast R.
Right.
And I can get it actually. So the Puma Fast R is this sort of weird shaped shoe. So it has an exposed plate, and it's got two foam. So it's got this like foam at the front and then this kind of like harder foam. And it's just, I just think it looks absolutely fantastic.
It looks like you almost kind of rock off the back of it, actually.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the purpose of this particular shoe. So, yeah, the Puma Fast R is absolutely fantastic. But my all-time favourite shoe is the Alpha Fly.
Yeah, so as somebody here who has never tried carbon-plated shoes, I know,
yes.
I'm way behind the times, what's so good about them?
So what's so good about a carbon plated shoe is that spring. So it, whatever you put into the shoe, it returns it back. So it kind of does make it it makes it easier to run. It saves the legs. Now, conversely to that, and I would say probably the downside to that is that they are not for everybody. I'd say you'd probably have to be a bit more experienced to run in them because they're not the most stable of shoes. So before people go out to rush out to buy all these shoes that cost £280, I would honestly just start with some simple shoes. But then when you advance, the energy return that you get and I would say the transition from front to back is absolutely unmatched at all. So, but I would stress, if you've never owned a pair before you go out and spend £250, I would say just keep it simple. Buy something that has tons of foam in it, and just make sure that you get fitted for the right shoe, because there's nothing worse than when you buy a shoe, you spend all that money, and it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it, to spend if you don't know if it's going to work for you or not. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let us know if you're out there listening and you've tried the carbon plated ones. We'd love to know your thoughts on them as well. What advice would you give to people listening who, like you, are starting running a bit later in life? You know, is there anything you wish you'd known when you'd first started? And I know you devoured lots of information.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give people in your situation?
I would say take it easy. Just you don't match yourself. But I think one of the things that I did was the Strava thing. And I tried to match myself. And I think that's the worst thing that you can, is when you try to match to other people. You know, you don't know if they've ran for a long time. You know, you're trying to match yourself against something that you are not aware about. So I would say just be true to yourself and just take things slow. You don't have to be the best. You know, just enjoy it. And I think more than anything else, should be fun. You should have a smile on your face and you should just absolutely enjoy it, because I think it's absolutely fantastic. And yeah, just have fun with it. Just have fun.
Yeah, no, it's such a nice thing to do, isn't it? It's, yeah, I love running anyway. How do you fit all your miles in during the week?
I'm tired.
so how do you fit it around work and everything else?
Oh, between work and kids and stuff as well. Yeah. So I work full time. The channel as well now, so I basically just run mostly late at night. I now run probably about 11 o'clock at night. So, you know, that's kind of the time. Sundays are the best day because I get to chill and I just can have that long, long run. So I kind of now, I am a night person, so all of times and the things that I do are now of an evening. And what I'll do is I'll record some stuff and then I'll have a run after the kids are in bed, like the normal life is done. And then that time is for me just to have a run.
Yeah, just goes to show you can fit it in, can't you, if you absolutely want to.
If you're prepared to be tired.
Yeah. Do you sleep okay after a run late at night? Because that's what I've always struggled with. I'm a morning runner. And
no. No, because okay. I then am more awake. So I probably on average get about 6 hours sleep a night, less than that, which is okay. But again, I need to stress the importance of rest and sleep, which is something that I need to do as well. So again, Sunday morning, I'll try to sleep in and then, try to sleep and rest. That is absolutely key well.
Have you ever tried running in the morning? Is that something you might look at?
Yeah, I have. Again, with the kids, it's such a difficult thing to do, especially with the kids, because I have three children. And, it's trying to find time with them as well, because I love spending the mornings with the children as well. So it's a tricky thing to do. I would love to, but I just think that work, trying to run during the day is really, really hard. I'm fortunate enough where I'm at home a bit as well, so I try to sneak in a run as well for like an hour. So I kind of now try to sneak it in either of an evening or an hour.
I guess you just got to do what works for you, haven't you? But you clearly,
exactly,
you're finding that balance, aren't you? That's good to hear. Right, I'm going to move on to some quick fire questions then, John.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so number one, preferred running surface?
Road.
Road, all the way.
All the way, road.
Favourite post-run snack?
Ooh, a banana.
Ooh, good choice. Music or no music?
Music, all the way.
What's on your playlist at the moment? Any favourites?
Linkin Park, 80s rock, some pop. I just got such an eclectic things of songs, but mostly rock stuff.
Great. Cross training, do you do it, and what's your activity?
Yes, I go to the gym and I do bike.
Yeah, okay. Do you do any weights or anything? Or
I do weights, yes. Yeah. Yes, I do a lot of weight training, yes.
Yeah, great. If you could run anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Japan.
Oh, why?
I like the culture, and it just looks amazing there. I would just love to run on, is it Mount Fuji or, around there. It just looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. I will hopefully get a chance to do Tokyo.
That would be amazing.
It would. If you could have one superpower to enhance your running, what would it be?
I want to say speed, but I think that's too easy. So I don't get injured, I think is one. Yeah. So I could just have bones of steel.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah, I think I might choose that as well. Okay, running pet peeve. Is there something about racing or running that annoys you or makes you cringe?
Yes. So I apologize to people that have them. I might say I'm thinking here. So when I see people with the water packs on and they have like a drink here and, there, and I know they're probably only out for like a 10K, right? And I'm just like, it's OTT. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But those vests with the water things on them, like, if you're out for anything less than about 10 miles, you don't need those things on. I'm really sorry if you have one, but they're just not for me. I'm really sorry.
That's fair enough. Last one then, most unusual or memorable running encounter?
I was once on a run and I come up behind this guy and he just looked a bit weird, and I asked if he was okay, and it transpired it was comedian. Yeah, so I came up behind him, and it was Lee Evans, the comedian. Wow. So I was like, between like, you're Lee Evans, like, and like you go for a run. I was just like, that's just so cool. Like, there was a guy who, and to be fair to him, he looked like he wasn't well. I think he ran a bit too fast.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, wow, okay, that's like, that's really quite cool. So that was surreal.
Yeah, that was surreal. So that was just out on a normal run.
I was like, just out and about. He's just a normal guy. And I was just, you know, as you do, you know, I think at one stage he was a proper like A-list Hollywood star. And I was like, Lee Evans, like on a run.
That was
just
cool.
Really weird.
Yeah, I used to love his stand-up. Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah, that's a brilliant story. Thanks, John. Oh, well, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been really great getting to know a bit more about you. Where can our listeners find your channel? Remind us.
It's Stammerron. And if you pop that in there, so we're currently at 60,000. So we are, well, it's just me. So the plan is the whole purpose of the channel is to promote stammering, you know, and it's a safe place for everybody. So I don't see it necessarily as mine. It's for everybody. So if you happen to find it, please come and say hi. And, you know, I'm open to suggestions as well. So please feel free to come and say hi.
Yeah, oh, well, thank you very much. It's been great getting to know
you. Thank you so much for the time. It's been fantastic. I appreciate it.